it means a miracle of the message. He also uses the Greek word, and for faith is the word pistuo, the word that means a faith that is a conviction, a faith that you believe something is so, and not only it catches us, this type of faith is not an intellectual faith. There's a lot of people that come to church every Sunday and in our world today that have an intellectual faith. You say, hey, do you believe in God? They say, yeah, I believe in the man, and they might call him the man upstairs, which I don't think that's the way you should refer to God, but they call it that way. They'll call him different things, and they'll think that maybe he's like Santa Claus, and he'll send things down from heaven for us. But I want you to know that you must not have an intellectual faith. An intellectual faith will only bring you to hell. Love me this morning. Now, a lot of preachers don't talk about hell very much anymore. Why? Because they're afraid they might scare the crowd off. But let me tell you what. Jesus did more talking about hell than he did heaven. And we must, I think there's a thing that we need to present the whole gospel, folks. And we need to let people know that those who reject the work of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is Christocentric, he's always pointing people to Jesus. And if you reject that work, that is the unpardonable sin. That's the sin that will send you to hell, and it is your choice. You say, hey, how could a loving God send someone to hell? Well, let me tell you what. He's a loving God, but he's also a just God. And in his judgment, he had to have a perfect sacrifice, and that perfect sacrifice was Jesus Christ. But he doesn't send people to hell, they make that choice. And every one of you here today have a choice to make. Am I going to believe? Am I going to believe not an intellectual knowledge, but I'm going to believe with conviction? By the way, I'm going to look at a story this morning. In a moment, it's going to see how a noble man came to Jesus. And not only this, did he believe the word, he acted on the word. See, it's not enough to believe the word. Follow me here. It's not enough to say, I believe it here in my head, but you got to act on it. There's a lot of believers that they believe the word and say, hey, I know what the word says about prayer, but they very do little praying. They pray kind of like the little thing you'll see, a fire exit will say, in case of emergency, pull this. And most of the people's prayers are in case of emergency, they pull it. But the prayer is much more than that, amen? God has much more for us. He does mighty things through prayer. And we must believe. And throughout here, you're going to see that word Simeon. It's going to be used 77 times in the New Testament. 50 times it's translated miracle. We find that 50 times it's translated sign, and 23 times it's translated miracle. It's translated wonder 3 times, and 1 time it's translated token. But you're going to see that word pistuo mentioned over and over. And by the way, if you look over and look at this morning, that those two go hand in hand. Okay? You must understand that these miracles were a miracle with a message. The message was that God can do great and mighty things, but you must get this, believe. You must have a conviction. You must act upon that which you hear. By the way, you can come to church Sunday after Sunday, listen to thousands of sermons, but still remain the same. Is that true?
Yes.
It is true. And some people do that. They come Sunday after Sunday. They come, some people come whenever they feel like, or it just fits their schedule. And they believe the word of God, but they really don't have a conviction. You know, when you have a conviction about something, that's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you have a conviction about in your life, I have a conviction about my drinking. I'm saying it's not good for the body. I believe that I've seen how many lives it's destroyed. including my brother-in-law, Andrew's brother, who died of cirrhosis of the liver. I've seen how it's destroyed lives of people who've gotten behind the wheel of the car after they drank and they killed somebody in the vehicle. That's the reason that I have a conviction about that. And I have a conviction about what movies we go to. I'm not trying to act like I'm Mr. Perfect here. Your pastor's not perfect. I can tell you that right now. All you got to do is ask my wife. But I'm going to think something. I have a conviction about it. I'm not going to go to the movie that dishonors God. Amen. I'm not going to go to the movie where they have filthy language. I'm not going to go to the movie where they have nudity. You know, about a lot of people, you know what I hear them say about that? They say, well, that wasn't too bad. What does too bad mean? But see, what I'm trying to help you understand is the difference between a conviction and something you disbelieve. You see? There is a difference. And I'm praying that you will have conviction about things. I'm praying you have conviction about prayer, that every day you'll enter into your prayer closet and you'll pray. Amen? And you'll believe that God is like that. That's all we say. God is still doing things. And by the way, He is. Amen. Praise God. The last few Sundays we've seen men who have walked out of this church and given their life to Christ. That's a miracle. And we'll be thankful for that. Let's go again back to Scripture, chapter 2 of John. Chapter 2 of John. The first miracle, the first semeion that Jesus does is found in chapter 2, where Jesus attends a wedding ceremony in Cana of Galilee. His mother was at this marriage, by the way. And you know what? I believe that this passage tells us that Jesus, Jesus thinks that marriage is important. He thinks that marriage is very important. In fact, he talks about the importance of marriage. Let's stay together, marry together. Now, I know people have gone through things they didn't by their own choice, have a divorce in their life. They had no choice over that. They had an unfaithful wife or husband. But I want you to know that I believe God still wants us to have a conviction about marriage. And Jesus was at this wedding. And if you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and whether Jesus was there, well, Jesus was calling his disciples to the marriage. Now, the disciples were with him. And when they wanted wine, the other mother of Jesus said unto him, there is no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And by the way, yes. Now, I want to say something to parents. It's pretty good. You can say to your kids, hey, if Jesus obeyed his mother, so should you. Amen. That's pretty good. When I thought about that this morning. Have you ever tried that? Apparently, yeah, but I'm not going to help you anymore. But anyway, his mother is asking him to help out the situation, and he says, hey, my time is yet come. But the mother said, whatsoever he said, the servant, whatever said, he says, you do it. And he said, six water pots of stone. And by the way, these water pots were pots they used for purifying water in that day. They were between 20 and 30 gallons of water in these water pots. And after the manner of the purifying Jews, this is how they did the purifying of the water, containing two or three firkins apiece, which is 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said, then fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. Now, guess this, all the way up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew that the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to everyone, every man at the meeting doth set forth good wine. When the men was well drunk, then they would give the worse wine. And thou hast kept the good wine until now. And then look at verse 11. This is the beginning of the semeion, the beginning of the miracles, the message that Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he has manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see that word believe? Yes. the miracle. Now, let me tell you something about this. What I believe the miracle of the message is here. If Jesus can turn water into wine, he can change any and every life that's here today. You believe that? I still believe that God is in the work of changing lives. And by the way, throughout the Gospel of John, he bears that out. He talks to a religious man in John chapter 3, his name was Nicodemus. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he told him that he must believe, that he must be true, that you must believe. And we know that probably they were owned by the things that took place in the scripture, and the commentaries that you read, probably Nicodemus, even though at that time he didn't accept Christ, he did eventually accept Christ. There was a woman at the well that had five husbands and was living with a man, and Jesus wants to transform her life, and he says, hey, I just wanted that you could drink out of the she'll never thirst again. And she's thinking about it, talking about the water in the well, but he was talking about himself. And he transformed that lady's life. She believed Pesuro, and she went back and told everybody in town what the Lord had done. Now let me ask you a question. How many have you told in the last month what the Lord has done for you? That's the question, isn't it? If we really believe that we've been transformed, will we tell somebody? And then we talk about other things. Some of you guys have been fishing caught a 15-pound bass. I'm sure you can just take it and keep it to yourself. No, you probably have pictures to show. If some of you got a new grandbaby, I'm asking you to just keep it to yourself. Oh, we have a new grandbaby. Didn't want to let anybody know. It's just a new grandbaby. I don't know about you, but I have a new grandbaby. It's a big deal. I have nine of them now. And every one of them are big deals. Amen? I was present at every one of their births, except the first one that Michael had. I was in Mexico on a mission trip. And he had the baby there, the baby early. He didn't cooperate with the time there. I can't believe that. Can you believe that? And I flew back. The guys that were on a mission trip, understand, I went and got a one-way ticket from down in the valley of Brownsville, and I flew back and got here as soon as I could. Why? And I let everybody know why? Because I had a new child, grandchild. Let me tell you why. When God changes your life, and he has the power, if he can change water into wine, he can change your life. It's a miracle of the message. He can change your life. And listen to me. He can change your life today. Every sin that you've committed up to today can be forgiven by the power of God. And because of the blood of Jesus, it still has power over 2,000 years ago. With sin at Calvary, according to Hebrews, he went once into the holy place to make atonement for our sins. And because of that, we can rejoice and we can know that he changes lives. Why do we go to prison? Once a month. And preach to the inmates there. Well, I'm under the conviction that God can change their life. Yes. Amen? Yes. You believe he can? Yes. I believe he can. I've seen him do that. I've seen him change inmates' lives. I've got letters. I've got follow letters. Did they send me a letter saying, hey, I'm out of prison now? I got parole. I'm out of prison. I'm walking with the Lord. My family's walking with the Lord. Praise God. Amen? Amen. That's what God does. He can transform your life, you say. But you don't know where I've been, Brother Jerry. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know. And by the way, I never asked you those inmates to live in what they've done because it doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus has the power. If you believe his word and act upon his word, you can be saved. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:9, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Today, you can have your life transformed. You can have a brand new start. Yeah, does that excite anybody here today? By the way, it ought to excite you. You ought to remember the day you got saved. You remember that day? And some of you said, that's a long time ago, Brother Jerry. should never forget today. Go to chapter 4 with me. Let's look at that second miracle of the message. This is a great miracle right here. A man with a great message. Look at it with me. He that have known the Messiah. Verse 46 of chapter 4 of the Gospel of John says this. So came Jesus in the Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was coming out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And by the way, how many of you parents, if your child was at the point of death, would you be in his altar? Would we come to the altar? Would we ask the church that God would heal your child? I believe you would. I remember this church some 8 years ago. I had some pastor friends of mine that came. Brother Bill Rabbit, Brother Steve Fish. Some pastor friends of mine that came to this church and we exercised James chapter 5 that they anointed me with oil and we preached from that passage in the church here prayed over me. And praise God that the cancer I had, that the chances of me overcoming that cancer was about 20%. But let me tell you what, if it had been 0%, I still believe God had the power to heal me. And God has the power to heal you. This man had a child that was at the point of death. And notice what the scripture says here. He came to Jesus and he besought him. Literally, the Greek word there means he implored him. It means that God has the Greek language there. It says he kept imploring him. He kept imploring him. He said, Jesus, my son, is at the point of death. Would you please come and heal him? Jesus, my son, is at the point of death. Would you please come and heal him? The Bible says this. Notice what it says. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see, here it is, sign Simeon, Greek word there, and wonders, and the word wonders there is word teros, not the same word Simeon, it's word teros, you will not believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down ere my child dies. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth, and the man gets this, he believed the word of Jesus that is spoken unto him, and he what? Went his way. Oh, I tell you what, did that man thank you to do that?
Yeah.
I believe it did. He went his way. He said, hey, Jesus said the word. And by the way, we hear the word. We still preach, by the way, from the word here. Amen? Some churches aren't doing it anymore. I told them, many pastors, some pastors don't preach from the Bible anymore. They preach from their laptop. Or their, what do they call those things? Tablets. Yeah, I don't know what those things are. Tablets. I think they want to preach this right here, amen?
Amen.
The Word of God. And he believed the Word of God, and here he goes back, look at verse 30, 51. And as he was now going down, the servants met him and told him, saying, thy son lives. Oh, here we go. Then he inquired of them the hour which they began to mend or began to be healed. And he said unto them, just at the seventh hour, the fever left him. You see that, folks? What was it? So the father knew what? He knew that if that was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself, here it is, hesteuo, he believed, and his whole house believed. Then again, this is the second Simeon, verse 54, that Jesus did when he has come out of Judea into Galilee, the second miracle. Let me tell you something. I want you to hear this today, church. Don't miss it. Not only did his father believe the word of Jesus, he had to act on the word. Let me ask you a question. Are you acting on the word that God has given you? Do you act on the word week after week when you hear the word? Is there one thing you do as a result of hearing the word of God? I mean, what I say, hey, this is one thing I do. Every time I hear a pastor preach an evangelism conference at a convention, there's one thing I say, hey, this is one thing I'm going to take away. This is one thing that I'm going to work on in my life because I've heard the word and I believe the word and I'm going to act on the word. By the way, believing is very important. Amen? Look at the scripture when it says about believing. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. James, in his hard-reading book in James, he gives us, hey, listen, if you are a true believer, you will have the true evidence of being a believer. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. If you're a true believer, here's what James says. Even so, faith that it does not have works is dead, being alone. You say, hey, I have faith. A lot of people say they have faith, but they never act on it. They never act like God's done something in their life. They're never moved by the word of God anymore. You find very few people in the altar today. Why is it so? Oh, you don't have to come to the altar. I understand that. But see, you're showing an act of faith when you come to this altar and say, you know what? I have something that I need God to help me with, and I'm willing to come. Bow, humble myself. When you get on your knees, or you sit, I know something, get on your knees, but when you sit on that front pew, you're humbling yourself and say, God, I need your help. Just like that father did. He came to Jesus. He knew that Jesus could help him, and he came. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, folks. How is it sensuous faith in our walk with God? By the way, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the way, you can't be saved unless you believe that God is. Amen? There's a lot of people that don't believe that God is. They don't believe that God is. They say, God, we don't believe there's a God. We don't believe he exists. By the way, let me tell you what. If you go ahead and begin at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. If they can't begin right there, it's going to be impossible for them to be saved. Amen. You've got to believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that knows that they seek him. By the way, can I tell you, if you're going to fight the devil, you've got to have faith.
That's right.
Ephesians 6:16 says, and taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, the devil. Then let me tell you what, he's throwing darts at you every day, and the only way you're going to overcome is by faith. You can be an overcomer. You must take the shield of faith in order to be an overcomer. It's essential to our prayer life. The Bible says in James 1:5, but if any of you like this, and let him ask you, God, to shoot you all in the river, and I pray to God that it shall be given to you. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith.
Yeah.
Believing. Yeah. Nothing wavering, because he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, tossed with the wind. Let me tell you what, the Bible says in Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Do you believe that? I'm convinced that some of us, we're not seeing power in our prayer life, we're not believing that God can do it. Let me, I'm going to go on record with this one and say, there's absolutely nothing too difficult for our God. Do you believe that? He can change your life. He can change your circumstance. He can deliver you from anything that's binding you. He can give you victory in your family. He can help you with the problem that you're facing. He can help you be overcomer, but it's by faith. And by the way, that's what the people in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, that's how they live. Look at Abraham, the father of faith, who went up to that mountain with the son of promise, Isaac. And Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? And what did he say to him?
in Genesis 22:8, he said, God will provide a sacrifice.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you why God's able to do that. Amen. If he could provide a ram and bulrushes for a sacrifice, we wouldn't have to sacrifice his own son. He is Jehovah Nireh, the God who provides.
Amen.
He can provide for you. Can I tell you a personal story? I'm not telling the story to make you feel sorry for me. I'm not telling the story because to lift me up, I'm just telling the story God had in my heart to share. Over the last 8 years, did you know I faced cancer? I was living in Anderson, been in the hospital 2 times with pneumonia, took 17 units of blood, and in and out of the eight. The last 8 years, our medical bills have been $8,000 to $10,000 a year. But I'm going to tell you something. We never, ever missed a tithe cent. Why? Because we knew that our God would provide. And I'm here today to tell you he has. And not only has he provided, he's even given us more than that cent. Praise God. That's how our God works. You must believe him for what you're going through. Caleb believed God in Joshua 14:12. He was one of the two witnesses that the spies came in and led the children of Israel because of their unbelief. They didn't go to the promised land. I preached on that during the first of the year. And I want to tell you what, Caleb was one of those guys that goes, they would take the promised land. He says, give me the mountain. What was the mountain? It was the mountain of the Anakims, the giants. He said, I want that mountain. I tell you, he was a man of faith. Maybe he was a man of faith when he faced the giant in 1 Samuel 17. He said, giant, the God who can help me kill the lion and the bear is able to take care of you, and you're about to die. And sure enough, it only took one slew stone because he ate it. Giant, God did.
Yeah.
God is the giant killer. Trust him. Job. Oh, think about Job. And I think I'm not about this missile compared to what Job went through. He lost his family, all his children, he lost all his possessions. But all that I believe is of, he said, I know that my Redeemer. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's faithfulness. See, it's easy to have faith when everything's doing good. But when you have a son in the form of death, like this nobleman, think about it. He went to the right person. And by the way, if you're going anywhere else, you're in trouble. I heard some of our presidents and their wives had meetings that they go to, soothsayers, that would give them direction. Let me tell you what, we don't need a soothsayer. I don't need to pay a palm reader. I need to go to the awesome, mighty God. And he can give you direction. He can deliver that boy. By the way, guess this. He didn't go over there. Why did he not go over there? He didn't go over there because he wanted you and I to see. He doesn't have to be physically present in order for healing, in order for his power to be demonstrated.
That's right. That's right.
He doesn't have to be physically present. I tell you what, we can pray here. We're going to have 3 men go to Africa. Our church is going to pray. And I'm going to tell you what, thousands of miles away, God's going to transform lives. Chapter 20. I'm almost done. It's 20 by plane. Hope that won't break.
bowing down before him.
But listen to me, church. He said, blessed are those who have not seen yet. See, today, that's exactly what I'm asking you to do.
These miracles, back to verse 31, there again, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christos, the Son of God. And by believing, you can have life through his name. Today, you can have life through his name. And what I'm offering you is an invitation tonight for those who have never invited Jesus in your life.
You have an intellectual faith. You know him in your head, but he's not in your heart. And you know that, by the way, because the Holy Spirit's already told you that this morning. See, that time I work, that's the Holy Spirit's already. He already told you, you need Jesus. What I'm going to ask you to do is, you're going to have to believe the word, you're going to have to step out by faith. You're going to have to act on the word. And I ask you to act on the word and come out of the front of that. Take a pastor by the hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. And by doing that, we're going to sit down with you and we're going to show you how you can invite Jesus into your life. I need Jesus. Others here today, you can come to our church for a while, and this is where God wants you to be remembered. And by the way, it takes an act of faith to join the church. Because you got to step out of the aisle. You got to come forward. You got to say, you know what? I want to be a part of the church that's going to preach Jesus. I want to be a part of the church that cares about people. We're about to do our school supplies, our operation backpack. We're going to give over 500 school supplies and shoes and backpacks to children through 9 years. And that's the reason God honors this church. Because, see, we are not turning inward. We need to look outward to our community. That's the reason we do Thanksgiving classes. That's the reason we do the school afternoon teaching the children at the elementary schools. We've been doing 3 schools. We want to do 4 schools this year. But we're going to have some of you step up and believe. You're going to have to step up.